I couldn't tell you how many times I have sat on that front row with my heart pounding in my ears while the special was being sung. This is so surreal for me to be back here. I was trying to prepare myself for it all day, and then I walked down the doors below for the meal that was prepared for us, and I seen the Master Club poster up on the wall. And I've been trying to keep it together. We were a little bit early on dinner, and I'm wandering around the church. My son is following me, and we're in the back room, and I sat in a chair, and I told him, this is where I got saved. And he gave me this look like, Dad, you've always been saved. It's not true. It is good to be back. I look at all the projects around the building that I had a hand in, all the late nights with a pitman or a French or a pit and Frenchman. it's hard to imagine, you know, you're a church member for almost a decade and all the things that happen in that time that come back to you. The choir song, I leaned over and told Pastor I was 100% positive that Ready was the first choir song I sang. Take your Bibles to Acts chapter 14. And when you find it, find Psalms 34 also as well. But we're going to read Acts chapter 14 first. In verse number 26 of Acts chapter 14, the Bible says, "And then sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. And they were come and had gathered the church together. They rehearsed all that God had done with them, and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And there they abode long time with the disciples." There's many things that I could be rehearsing tonight. The good, the bad, and the ugly of church planting that I have been through in the last 2 years. But it's much easier and more likely to be rejoiceable if we turn to Psalms 34 and we talk about how wonderful God has been to me and my family in this time of servitude for Him. Psalms 34 says, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me." And I say amen to that. Right. "And let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord, and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto Him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamped round about them that fear Him and delivered them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good, and blessed is the man that trusteth in Him." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, hallowed be Thy name. Lord, it is so good to be here tonight, and I am so emotionally overwhelmed standing at this pulpit once again. Lord, we've come for the purpose of delivering a message on church planting and how wonderful it is to serve You in that aspect, at every level of participation, and how important it is. Father, I ask right now that you would soften the heart of this congregation to your will. Lord, please be with me as I deliver what you have put a burden on my heart for tonight. And Father, if there is one here among us who does not know your Son as Savior, Lord, people still get saved in missions conferences. And we ask that tonight would be the night of their salvation. In Jesus' name do I pray. Amen. There's a lot of things that overwhelm you when you go from a church this size to a church plant. I told one of the youths from Broken Arrow, one of the things I miss the most is being in a choir. And it's kind of one of those sad facts that more than likely when you leave to start a church, the next choir that you will be allowed to sing in will be on the other side of glory. And you miss singing. The hardships of going from a church that has a children's ministry that's running about 40 when we left. I'm sorry, Miss Burr. I know. I've heard the Exodus, the blessing of a military church. The Lord giveth and he taketh away. To nothing has been a burden on my kids. There's no doubt when you're a church planter, a lot of times your family is the one that has to pay some of the most ultimate prices of doing such. They miss having friends. And when you have people that come to church, I was told this by Brother Pittman, you know, when you have families come, they even have kids, you got to watch out. There's only so much fellowship you can have because you got to get them grounded in the truth before you can even let your kids hang out with their kids. And there's some honest truth to that because, you know, kids, they don't ever pick up anyone else's good habits. I mean, it's not how they work, Dalton. Maybe. And so there's a lot of struggles. Just real struggles. You know, as a parent, you never tell your parents how much of a struggle it is with your kids. How many of your tools your sons have broken or left in the yard. And, you know, as a pastor, you know, you never want to tell your pastor how hard it is to preach three times a week. And he'll tell you that for 8-9 years in institute, how difficult it is, but until you get there, you just never realize how much pressure it is when Sunday's always there. It's always there. Like, Sunday is always there. No matter what, Sunday's there. And it's just a struggle. But I'm going to tell you tonight, the Lord put on my heart not to come here and complain about the last 2 years. But he told me to come here and tell you how good he's been to me and my family in the last 2 years. We left here just before Christmas, about the end of November. The Gons allowed us the opportunity to go house-sit their house as they went to Germany to visit their parents for the holidays, or Manuela's mom for the holidays. And we were committed to go at that point. It was pretty crazy. I didn't even have a job, and I left. Let that soak in. And I had total peace about that. I don't know why I did. I just expected God to take care of me. And it was just an amazing time for me because I was staying at the Gonza's house. We weren't even remotely comfortable there, and I was already job hunting, and I had a job the second day I was down there. And the Lord just took care of me in just a great, mighty way. I had a job restoring downtown buildings in the city of Joplin. Oh, my goodness, I thought remodeling was a beast. You go into restoration, you're tackling something else entirely different. It was awful. Because these buildings are 120 years old. That's some of the younger ones that you were working on. And we had to sell our house here, which was a chore. We tried to sell it by owner because I didn't want to pay a real estate agent that 6%. You know what I'm talking about. I didn't want to do it. But we couldn't sell the house. And so we put it up for under a real estate agent. And the lady did a bang-up job. She was the one I actually used to buy my house. And at the time, we still needed a place, and we were having a real struggle finding a place to live. We had talked to some of our supporting churches. We're running a church camp down there, a Saginaw Baptist Church camp, and we were staying in their church prophet's chamber there, me and my family. And it was two rooms together about the size of the kitchen down there. It was a good time for me because I went to work every day. My wife so much, not so much. She even made the attempt to try to homeschool in that condition, and it was a real struggle. And our house hadn't sold yet, and we needed to get a house. And I'm just telling you all this because I want you to understand how God took care of me. And it turned out my boss at the time played football with the president of Guaranty Bank. And he called him up and hooked me up with one of his loan agents and got me a really quirky loan for a house that I could get without having my other house being sold at the time. And we got a house. And I want you to know something. We had been praying for a house south of town in the hills because I don't like tornadoes. Right? You're going to Joplin, knucklehead. I don't want to deal with tornadoes. And so we're at the base of the Ozark Mountains. And they gave us exactly what we wanted, what we'd been praying for. We wanted a little bit of property so that we could have some animals, a little hobby farm, and we found a place, 7.5 acres, a house that was probably 2 months away from being absolutely condemned. Oh, mercy. And the Lord gave us just what we were praying for. A house sheltered in this valley, beautiful country scene, protected from tornadoes. I have heard 5 tornadoes touch down from my front porch and felt totally safe because I knew that the tornadoes couldn't crest the hills and get to us. It's an amazing thing. It's great for tornadoes and horrible for internet all at the same time. You know, I had a message prepared. The Lord allowed me to even type out the outline, and I've been praying how to deliver it, and he shifted me to this passage, left me totally unprepared for this evening in a way that no preacher feels comfortable with. And when I read the passage, I wept. You know, it's a beautiful thing when you can just read Scripture and have it grip your heart. And then be allowed the opportunity to come to people that have been praying for you and supporting you and are so instrumental in your discipleship at so many different levels. People that are now grown up that you used to teach when they were this big. It's overwhelming. And I read this passage and all I could think of was how good God has been to us these last 2 years. You know, I never once thought that I was worthy of the calling that God had given me. And I still don't. And because I feel so unworthy of it, this isn't a false sense of humility. This is God Almighty calling me to go spread His gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ that allows a man to be saved, removing the sting of death. Who wouldn't have a who am I moment every other week under those circumstances? And then you read a passage like this. And this was a passage when David was doing some things that he should not have been doing. He says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. You know, it's an amazing thought when you are on the other side of church planting. The things that you now take on in preparation to every conversation, every person you come across. Literally, every person that I come across has the potential to be another church member for me. And that's important. Why is that important? Because right now my kids are praying for a family with kids their age. And so they might have the answer to their prayers. You ever think about that? That every conversation you have could be an answer to somebody's prayers? It takes on kind of a little more serious gravity when you think about when you're just talking to the person across the register who's checking you out or the person who just asked you how you were doing as you were walking by. Every person I come across is a potential church member. Why is it church planters are the only ones that feel this way? And that's a tough question to ask. You know, it's not church leadership's job to add to the church daily. It's Jesus Christ, with you being faithful. And obviously this year has not been so hot for that. And I'm not going to talk about it, because the conversation makes me sick. The name of Jesus Christ is restrained at every turn. It's like literally a virus has stopped the Great Commission from going forth. Doesn't have to be that way. Not for you, and not for me. I was fortunate for my church because I was outside of Joplin city limits. And I'm in Newton County and not in Jasper County. And the Newton County Sheriff said he wasn't going to stop any church services. And so I was protected by the law, an elected official. You know, not so many people in our state is protected from elected officials, especially in regards to spreading the gospel. And when you want to talk about how good God is and how wonderful He is, and most importantly, how much everyone you come across should be a new member in your church, you got to do it with a smile on your face. You really do. Do you love your church? I love this church. This church is special to me. I almost forgot how special it was until I pulled in the parking lot. I'm going to do everything I can to get through this message without crying. And I'm not going to make any promises. Because when I pulled into this parking lot like I had done so many times, literally taking this church for granted so many times, pulling into this church every Wednesday, every Sunday evening, pulling into this church as if it was nothing special, because we're so casual with coming to church every week, three times a week, that it no longer becomes so special. Well, you go 2 years away from this church and pull into the parking lot, and you better be buckled up. Because it turns out this church probably meant a little more to me than I thought it did. This is where I learned so much. This is where so many of you got to learn so much from me. Church planning it's a difficult thing to accomplish this day and age. And I believe America is actually turning out to be one of the hardest mission fields on the planet. Every area and region seems to be known for its own degree of stubbornness in its own right, one way or another, and down south in the Ozarks is no different. You only think we're 3 hours away. It's a whole different region and time zone down there. It really is. It is not Warrensburg in Joplin. And if you think so, just go shop around. You'll find out pretty quick that they're different. Number one, they're not such a military presence, and I know to most of you in this room, that'll throw you right through a loop, because people don't show up 30 minutes early all the time. That's just how they are down south. And you try to run a church with military precision, it just doesn't work. It doesn't mean you don't adjust. This is a military church. Ex-military pastor. Retired military members all throughout. The amount of military influence within these walls is it's there. You just can't get around it here. Now, down there it's not. And so you got to minister to them differently, because every church is different. And one of the hardest things we've trying to do and teach, most importantly to me at my church, is to teach our members a love for their church that is agape love. What does that even mean? It means a sacrificial love. How could they possibly understand when it's just not a big deal to them what church is? When to you, you've sacrificed everything. You threw everything you owned in a U-Haul, and you headed south. You didn't have a job waiting for you or a place to live. And you just stepped out by faith, expecting God to take care of everything, to start a church, and for people to show up that don't care about church like you do. It's just crazy. You drive home after church thinking, man, why don't these people love church like I do? It's because they haven't been taught. They haven't been taught. Now, how do you teach someone to love church like you should? Well, first and foremost, you stop coming into the parking lot acting like it's no big deal to come into the parking lot. What you have is amazing. What you have is special. What you have is precious. What you have is uplifting. What you have, it builds you up and encourages and feeds you for the week. What you have is amazing. And what you have, we take for granted. And we hoard it to ourselves. I can't imagine, you know, 9 years as a member of this church, and there's so many people that you would come across, and it just really wasn't a big deal to me that they came to the church that I was a member of. And we would try to invite people, and we would try to give out tracts, and we would try to witness to somebody, but really, it just wasn't the same. And then you go start a church, and things get real. And it would be amazing to think what would happen in this church right now if every one of you would get this in your heart and get a burden for it, that every person you come across is a perpetual member, a possibility of being a member of Calvary Baptist Church. The church that changed my life forever. The church that means so much to you. Why would you not want them to get a piece of this? This is amazing. It's amazing to be a member of this church. Excuse me while I take a drink. We have an opportunity every time we come across somebody to fulfill the things that are listed in this verse, this passage of Scripture, if my tongue will cooperate, to be able to bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. You know, if you don't think the church that you're a member of is amazing and that other people should come to this church, then guess what? You should go. That's pretty harsh. You should get out. You really should. Why are you coming here if you don't think this church is amazing? You don't think everybody you come across should be a member of this church? You know, it's really kind of funny how evangelistic people on a new diet can be. Essential oils, got some zeal from up north. I mean, I can name all sorts of things that people will try, and it works for a couple of weeks, and guess what? They want everyone they know to try this product because it is so amazing, it has changed their life, it is so effective at doing whatever it's supposed to do, and I want everybody to buy it so I can get 10% off. And these pyramid schemes just attack church members left and right because we already are evangelistic in nature. And yet the things that we do and the things that we eat and the things that we use to help our lives and our health are pale in comparison to one of the most important aspects of our lives, and that is our church. Why can we not magnify our church? This should be something that people want to come and participate in. And the only way it would be that way is if you can enthusiastically invite them to the place that has changed your life. That's church planting 101. We're trying to build that down in Joplin. It's going pretty good. Some of you have asked, we're running 22 Sunday morning. I mean, hot dog, 22. Can you say hot dog from the pulpit? I just did. Hot dog. That makes me so happy. It really does. Some of the people are coming because they could just tell, I love my church. And I want to serve God there. And I want to do them right with every message that I can. With every message. You know, you got to go and you got to be committed to your church. Carrying out the Great Commission cannot be done half-heartedly. It takes commitment and effort and discipline, and you have to love what you are trying to sell. And I'll tell you what, I didn't realize how much I love this church. I knew I was going to be rocked when I pulled in. But nothing will really prepare you for it. And I know there's a lot of you that have gone overseas and come back and been overwhelmed. The experience when you get to come back is just so good. It's just good. There's nothing bad about coming back. It's just good to be here. See the things that have changed and see the things that have not. Really, most of the building looks like the day I left. You guys need to find another carpenter. Read this passage with me. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast. And the Lord, the humble, shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him, and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. You know, there's a lot of times in our lives as a Christian where we step out by faith and things don't make sense to us. Not a lot of reason, not a lot of logic, not a lot of secular mindset that gets you to take that first step off the rug to where God wants you to be. And when you do exactly what he says, I'm telling you, it's an amazing thought, an amazing testament of how encouraging and how emboldening it is when God takes care of you, when you do exactly what he wanted you to do. And I could testify all night to that fact. Not because I'm worthy of what he's done, but I just obeyed. Isn't that just an amazing thought? I just obeyed. He told me to go and I went. Was I scared? Are you kidding me? I'm still scared. But you go and you don't want to use the term burn your boats on the shore, but you know, coming back to Calvary is just not an option. It's not. Pastor's done with me. A lot of institute there. He'd take me back if I came with my tail tucked between my legs, but that's just not an option. You know, reaching people and getting them to come to church is just not an option. Failing in the Great Commission is not an option. You know, this year has taught us so much that none of us wanted to learn this year. Am I right? Now, all of a sudden, if we sat there in 2019 and thought, you know what? This year, I'm going to literally have to start taking stands and fight for the liberties that I never thought my kids... I mean, we just take all this stuff for granted. And now we realize that if we don't stand up for freedom and liberty, then our kids aren't going to have any. Well, it's in the same boat when it comes to churches, because this year has caused more churches to close their doors than you could ever possibly imagine. Because churches that did some of the things that they've done, they did not get their people back. And this church is no different. Every one of us bear the name of Christ in a way that does not guarantee it for our children. And if we don't fight for them to have churches, then what are they going to have? You know, the average age of church membership coast to coast is about 65. In the Independent Baptist Circle, if you're running 60, you're considered a large church. This is above average. I can guarantee you that after going on deputation. And all the madness this year has done nothing but magnify that to a detriment to the very name of Jesus Christ. Now, he's promised his church perpetuity. But he did not say we were not going to have to fight for it. And that's just the honest truth. Are you going to fight for this church? You know, I find in my life that the things that are precious to me Oh boy, we'll scrap over. Right? What do you consider precious? Always first thing that comes to my mind, Brother Chad, is my family. They're precious. My family's precious. I don't consider all my critters running around my hobby farm precious. There's some of them I could do without. My family's precious. My church is precious. My Bibles are precious. The gospel is precious. Freedom's precious too. Amen, it is. And the freedom to worship God in a church is just as precious. And so from the view as a church planner, some of the things that we have to really consider, where and how and when are we going to fight for some of the things that are in danger? You know, if you're not fighting to get people in the doors, overcoming fear to invite them to the most precious place you have to go to, you think my home's more precious? No, it's not. My home's never changed my life forever. It's nice to go home to, don't get me wrong. I do like having a roof over my head. It really rains hard down in Joplin. It really does. It's not precious to me. I'd still fight for it, but not like my church. And I want to encourage this church tonight. I want to embolden you tonight. I want to entice you tonight into thinking about what are some of the things that church planners do to get people in the doors. They do this crazy thing. I mean, it's a good thing you're all sitting down. They talk to people. All the time. And you'll actually find it's a really blessed thing to do, you know, when you talk to people. And you tell them, you know, hey, I'm pastor of this church, you ought to come. And you get to strike up a conversation. Ironically enough, I used to never go shopping at all after church when I was a member here. But for some reason, we always end up at Dollar General after church. And I get to have so many conversations from people just from saying, why are you so dressed up? Just came from church. Are you working Wednesday? And we just talk. You know, you ought to have a sense about this in a way that my kids, they expect me to talk to everybody I come across. It annoys the snot out of them. But how can I not serve Jesus Christ in this aspect when every person I come across and get to talk to has the possibility of being added to the church down in Joplin? The church that you pray will grow. You're praying that it'll grow, right? Please, tell me you're praying. This church is no different. Now, everyone that you come across on a day-to-day basis has the possibility of being the next preacher in institute, of being the next master club teacher, of maybe bringing more kids for the master club classes. That was for you, Ms. Burr. You just don't know. And we just walk on by like it's not a big deal because we're so busy and we got all this stuff on our plate and that guy has more piercings than a tackle box and I don't want to go there. Look at all that ink. Just stop it for 1 second and realize that the problem we are having in our country is a sin problem and the only cure is not a vaccine. It is Jesus Christ. Amen. Coast to coast. And hey, last I checked, you're in a place that actually teaches people about Jesus. You're still teaching about Jesus, right? Okay, right on. That would have been embarrassing. But you can trust, because you know your pastor is still going to deliver the gospel message. Man, that's good. That's so good. Why would you not want to tell people about this church? Well, why would you not want to tell people about this church? If you don't think that Calvary Baptist Church should be magnified in its ability to spread the gospel in this region, then you don't belong here. You are an anchor to the gospel, not a propellant. And God doesn't need any more anchors. He needs someone who's going to go forth. So tonight I really want to ask you this question. It's just, how precious is this church to you? What does this church even mean to you? Just stop for a second and let that thought soak in. Is this just the building that you come to three times a week because that's just what I'm supposed to do to check my good person box? Or am I coming for preparation and fueling and ammo to do what I'm supposed to do for Jesus Christ? What are you doing here? And why don't you want other people to come? Just think about the last person you were able to tell about your church. And if you don't have a face and a time and a place come to mind, then it's been too long. You have a church that is precious, that preaches the gospel, that sees souls saved, that sees men called to preach, that sends them out to start other churches. This is precious, not worth killing. But we're saving and fighting and propagating and growing. And it's not Pastor Merrick's job to do that. He is one man. And I look across a room full of people that if you would get excited about this church and desire other people to come here, then guess what? They might just come here. Paul and Barnabas, what did they do? Every town they went to, you know what they did? They went to the synagogues. Think, why would they go to the synagogues? That's kind of weird. That's like the Jews' church. You know why they went to the synagogue? Because one was a Pharisee and the other was a Levite. That's what they knew. That's where they were comfortable with. That was the people they loved. It's no different than your basketball court, your shooting range, your hobby store, your health food store, your sewing store, whatever you ladies like to go do, whatever your hobbies are. They went to the place where they knew they could speak the language with other people and use that to tell them about Jesus Christ. They had a heart for those people. And they went where they knew. And they ministered there first. And you know what they did afterwards? This is the scary part. They went to the Gentiles. They went to the place where they weren't comfortable with. They went to the marketplaces. They went to other places where they weren't so familiar with. And then they told people about Jesus Christ. That's church planting 101. Is that different overseas? No. Of course not. You use what you have to your ability to spread the gospel and invite people to church because to you, this should be precious. To me tonight, it was worth driving 6 hours. Enjoy your 15-minute ride home, people. You'll be asleep for 2.5 hours before I get there. To me, it was worth it. And Pastor Merrick called me saying no wasn't even an option. It wasn't there. It wasn't an option. I had to come. You know why I had to come? So that I could be reminded how precious this building is to me and how precious the people in it are to me. And the times I spent here and the times I served here, the times I preached here, the times I sang here, the times I grew here, the Lord raked me over the coals time and time again. It was here under the preaching and teaching of this man who was so instrumental in my life. It changed my life. Why would I not want everyone else to come and experience this? I'm going to read this passage one more time. I'm going to ask you a question. It says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me and exalt his name together. Together. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamped round about them that fear him and delivereth them. And this is the best. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And blessed is the man that trusteth in him. He will get you through the conversation if you are brave enough to trust in him and invite people to church. Missions, conferences, is always about one thing. The inspiration of the congregation. We want you to give, of course. Faith promise. I got you. We don't need another missionary coming here and preaching on giving money. But if your heart's right with God, this is just what you do. Really, what it's more about is personal evangelism. I mean, you got to get back to the source of where the true joy of Christianity is. And first and foremost, it's got to come from a love for your church that is so deep and so true that you, hey, want other people to come here with you. Don't go to church alone. You know, there's nothing more exciting than inviting someone to church and actually seeing them there on Sunday morning. Man, that's good stuff. It's good stuff. So I'm going to ask Miss Diane if she'd come play a verse of invitation. And I'm just going to ask you, how precious is this church to you? Is it precious enough to share with other people? I ask you please stand, close your eyes, bow your heads, respecting everybody's privacy. And I'm going to turn the invitation over to Pastor Merritt.